From the Midas of Roseburg studio, KQEN weather, sunny and warm with a high near 60 this afternoon. Clear and cool overnight, 33 with some patchy fog. And by tomorrow, patchy fog before noon, sunny in the afternoon and 57. Clear also Thursday night and 32. Patchy fog in the morning, sunny in the afternoon again on Friday, and the high near 56. Currently 52, KQEN News Time, 12:35.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by the Parent House. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, another look back at the recently adjourned session of the Oregon State Legislature. This time around, we check in with State Representative Cedric Hayden, who represents Northern Douglas County and Southern Lane County, among the areas that he covers. Cedric, thanks for being on with us this afternoon.
Yeah, thank you, sir. Pleasure to be on with you again here for our another Wednesday meeting. Things are finally letting us take a little breather today. It's been very busy right up to last night, and today's a little bit of breathing room and get back to our in-district jobs and work.
So, have you remained in Salem past the weekend?
So I was actually in Salem myself Sunday. Many of the senators were, or all of the senators, I believe, were in Salem Sunday on the Senate floor. I was there on the House floor. Another member came that day. So we did intentionally provide quorum on Sunday if the Democrats had chosen to show up. And then they did not. That was because of the budget bills. We had 100% agreement with their priority list that they put out on Thursday. We agreed with that. We communicated with our caucuses and agreed to come back and pass 100% of those priorities. Interestingly, the Democrats did not list on that priority the cap and trade bill that was so controversial. My belief is that's because the governor had already a plan to do an executive order because of some of her strong supporters didn't like actually the 1530 bill, and they wanted to go back to the 2020 bill. So we had said we will come back and provide quorum for the purpose of the legislature. We did that with enough House, although all the House didn't come back. We did that with enough House members to provide it, and all the Senate members. I was there with them for that. And then going into Monday, we started right off on Monday. I was in Salem Monday morning, and then Monday, starting at 12:30, 1 o'clock, I was in Portland at the governor's behavioral health committee. That was another executive order on behavioral mental health and addiction crisis. So I was there for a couple of hours, and then Monday night from Portland, I went down to Sutherland to the city council meeting and kind of gave them an update like we're doing here.
So it's been a very busy time, and I want to kind of get your thoughts, your perspective about overall what it was like being in the session. What I'm hearing very widely between members of each party. Republicans are pretty consistent about what they say. Democrats are pretty consistent about what they say. But both sides are sure not in agreement about what it was all about.
Well, that's really the crux, I guess you can say, of the failure of the negotiation on the session. Even before the session started, it was pretty public knowledge that we, the Republican caucuses, were, if they were going to take a short session and push a major piece of legislation through like cap and trade, particularly since it didn't have vetting on what it would cost people in Oregon to do that, they better send it to the voters. We never blinked on that. We never shied away from that. And when it got to the point that it was inevitable in our minds that they were going to push forward with that, we left the building, and out of a courtesy to our state police, we left the state. As far as I know, all of us, of course, I was separate with my family in different locations except for a couple of meetings that I did go meet up with our leadership and met with the Senate leadership and then went our way. And we had offered, like I said, we had offered to come back and finish that. For us, it was a single item cap and trade, and we will vote up or down on the rest of the legislation, and we would be back to do that, particularly the budget bills and the funding bills that they had prioritized. Now, they're coming back and saying, well, you know, we didn't come back because we didn't want to do X, Y, and Z. Really, it isn't. I don't know how to explain that any further. It was cap and trade. We said that all along, and that's still what it was.
So you leave. The walkout takes place. The legislation doesn't get through, but only a couple days later, the governor does the executive order, which, though a bit different, addresses a number of the things in that legislation. Did you win anything by leaving?
Well, I think so. I think we did. I think here, if you go back 20 years, the Democrats did the walkout. And if you look at just kind of generically how the House and the Senate and the division between the control of the parties 20 years ago has swung the pendulum to, it's pretty much flipped from that now. And it took a walkout for their base to, I think, you know, wake people up and say, hey, you know, here's what's happening. We don't like it. We're going to walk out. 20 years later, we do the same. We play the same card that is available as our Constitution, that we can do that. And if we didn't do that, I feel like it wouldn't have made the impact. And we have 54 House seats filled with Republicans running. That is the first time in my cycle of being there, which will be four terms after this is done. So within at least the last 10 years, I haven't seen that before. So I think that swell of enthusiasm, people engaging, has significantly increased over this. And our job now is to make sure that our friends, neighbors, you know, everybody on our cell phone contact list is registered to vote by the 1st of April. Of course, 21 days before the May 19th election, registered to vote. And they actually get out and vote, particularly, you know, with vote by mail. We don't have very many excuses not to vote.
So with the rural-urban divide, which also not necessarily but often translates to a Democrat-Republican divide, some districts are very heavily Democratic, very hard to get a Republican winner. Conversely, other districts are very heavy Republican, hard to ever get a Democrat winner if you're coming from that side of the aisle. Do you feel like the swing districts, though, the ones that can go either way, depending on who happens to be running, do you see some potential there to pick up a significant number of seats in this election cycle?
So I do, and I'll tell you where I think some of our opportunities lie. I was assigned as my part of the campaign side and, you know, being in leadership, so I'm wearing both of those hats. But on the campaign hat, I was assigned House District 7, 8, 9, 11, 12, 13, and 14. And one of those is the 7, the district I represent. But every single one of those has a Republican running in it. We were able to recruit somebody in that. So that's Lane County mostly. A significant one there is 9 with Caddy McEwen not running. That is a coastal district, a district that is affected significantly by the executive order, the legislation that we stopped. And you can go right up that coast. Tiffany Mitchell, she was the one that was subject to a recall. That recall was not successful in the terms of having her have to reelect herself, so to speak. But you could say maybe that was successful in the fact that 4 hours before the deadline, she decided not to run again. And so we have an open seat there. We've got an open seat where Caddy McEwen was. We've got somebody running against Gomberg on the coast. And so we believe those coastal seats are prime for us to flip some seats. And we are going to work hard on those areas, and we're going to work hard across the state, but particularly in areas that we think we can change, the coastal seats and in Lane County.
And what about parts of Central Oregon? It's gone increasingly Democratic in recent years. It used to be very strong Republican. Where do things stand there for the members of the legislature?
Well, there's a couple of seats there, particularly if you go back a little bit of time. Dr. Newt Bueller held one of those seats that was 10 to 12 points in the opposite of the party, you know, on the Democrat versus the Republican. Representative Sherry holds that seat now. She was not part of the walkout. As we talked about last time, we were able to have one member stay in both the Senate and the House, a communicator, if you will, or somebody that was in a, you know, deeply blue district that's able to win with moderate Democrats. And so, you know, we hope and we will fight to hold those districts for them.
So
for us.
When you look at the legislative session, you said it was all about cap and trade. Some of the Democrats I've talked to have said, yeah, next time it'll be about something else, and there's a concern about more walkouts in the future.
Well, I guess, you know, as part of the Constitution, there's the inevitability of that being possible. A couple of things could happen. You know, our side of the aisle, Republican side of the aisle, could be completely wrong, and the Democrats get their wish list, which I believe is why part of the reason that they didn't come back was that they can not only get supermajorities like they have, but they can get to quorum-proof supermajorities by picking up a couple more seats, meaning that it doesn't matter whether we're in the building or not. And so, you know, that's going to be their goal to do that. Our goal is going to swing it back the other way.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. State Representative Cedric Hayden from House District 7, the interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 on Inside Douglas County, News Radio 1240 KQAN. Inside Douglas County, 1248. Lars Larson coming at 1 on News Radio 1240 KQEN. No program tomorrow. It's game number 1 for the Oregon Ducks in the Pac-12 tournament, and it happens to be a noon game, so we'll have that on tomorrow. State Representative Gary Leaf will join us on Fridays inside Douglas County. By the way, later today, KQEN Local Talk at 4, the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show. State Representative Cedric Hayden representing Northern Douglas County and parts of Lane County as well. Cedric, does your district include parts of any other counties or just those two?
No, the district that I represent, House District 7, just includes those two counties, and it is a very large district. It goes to the northern border of Lane County and over to the eastern border of Deschutes County, and then it goes south a long ways past Crater Lake, and then back up. Of course, it circumnavigates Roseburg, but crosses over to the west side of I-5 and comes back up and circumnavigates Springfield, Eugene area. And so I get to do a lot of driving in this district.
And if I recall correctly, it basically begins, if you're in Roseburg heading north, basically begins at about the city limits, right?
Well, the district, if you look at it, Roseburg City proper is kind of a carve out, and it kind of the House District 7 semi wraps around city limits of Roseburg and then heads west for there. But it does go east, you know, Tiller and southeast, clear down past Crater Lake.
So during the session, only 3 bills got through both chambers and went to the governor. For some of the projects you were working on, what about the things left on the cutting room floor?
So, you know, I had this conversation at the city council. I have 12 city councils that I try and go to on a regular basis. I try and get to each of them 3 times a year or 4 times a year. And if there's a dozen of those, split that up over 48 weeks. So, you know, we try and get there once a quarter to each one of them. And I was talking about that there, that, you know, in the health policy and in the human services budget, I spent a lot of time bipartisan working on some health policy. You know, one was to provide some relief on getting insurance companies to agree to cap insulin rates. That's one of the expensive pharmaceuticals that has increased a lot. And getting a coalition around that, working across party lines to do that. Another was to get some funding around foster care children transition. You know, when our kids age out to 18, it's just, you know, it's not the end of the day. They still have parents there. Foster kids need, I believe, a little more transition time. So I spent a lot of time working on that this session across party lines. And then we had, an additional $500-600 million in increase revenue coming in, and we were able to set aside some of that for our public safety officers. So we were, you know, working towards getting them a significant bump in their budgets. And so, you know, like I said, in Sutherland, I was actually disappointed with the fact that the Democrats wouldn't come back and pass these budgets that a lot of us had put a lot of work into. So from that aspect, I was disappointed on it. I still believe we did the right thing by standing up and saying, no, we're not going to use this short session to pass legislation that the majority of Oregonians believe should come to the voters.
Now, what about those bills going forward? I've been told there may be more than one special session here in the next few months. They obviously have to kind of start over again and go through a lot of the processes again. But some of those things you just talked about, are they potential to get on the table if we have a number of special sessions?
Well, even in a special session, they would have to be new bills. Would they be combined? Would they be an omnibus bill? Would the what we call the Christmas tree bill, where a lot of those funding items in, would it come back and more bills plugged into that? I don't know what the structure of that is. What we're hearing at this point, at least what I'm hearing at this point, and you know, again, trying to take things off other than this phone call for political stuff. Today, so I don't know in the last, you know, 12 hours if anything has changed, but what I'm hearing is some of the Democrats have long-term vacations scheduled, and so they won't be coming back to the building. I don't know that any of the Republicans were asked that, at least I wasn't. And then sometime 30-plus days from now, there's possibility of a session between them and September. I've heard that it could be longer or as short as a week, but these are just not anything that I have any concrete information on.
Now, normally special sessions have to have, is it a stated purpose or can it be a group of stated purposes?
Well, I think you have different people that can call or different leaderships that can call. The Peter Courtney and Speaker Kotek can get together and call for a special session. The governor can call for a special session, or they can all call for a special session together, which would, you know, be something that would be most likely in my mind. And, you know, when they get together, they can say this is for whatever reason they want to, but it doesn't have to be a singular reason. It could be for budgets. It could be for the coronavirus. That's something that we can continue to track and keep up with, and have daily phone calls with the Oregon Health Authority. As Vice Chair of Healthcare, I have individual calls fairly frequently with the Oregon Health Director. As somebody that works in a hospital operating room, I will be going in this week for additional training. You know, whether we're treating that as an aerosol or a droplet, those are kind of just different protocols that we use in that setting. And so, you know, this is a serious thing that we all need to be paying attention to. As you're aware, we have a case in Douglas County, and then Umatilla County, and then metropolitan area. We haven't had any deaths in Oregon yet, at least not 12 hours ago. And, you know, that is something that she may call a special session for, but I believe that other things would take place also.
So what do you do during this time moving forward? You mentioned some people taking a bit of a break. What's your schedule going to include legislatively?
Well, I say it a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but when I'm out of session, my schedule gets busy. And what I mean by that is I do continue to have a limited practice of oral health or as a dentist. That practice for me is hospital-based, and so it's a referral, and I have pre-ops and post-ops out of there and then work in the OR. So that's a regular schedule that I do that takes part-time. And then I run a small heavy equipment construction company. I'm actually in Primeville today. Looking at one of the jobs that we will be starting here next week. And so things really kick into high gear for us as we transition into that and get my crews lined out to get that out and running for the summer months. And then we also engage with wildfire if there is a need for that. We're just call when needed under federal contracts and available to states. To the state if they do go through the contracting process, if there is emergency for doing that. So this week we're doing all the inspections for that, and the pre-training for that will be starting soon. And so a lot going on. It gets really busy for me after I get out of session.
About 45 seconds left. Are you concerned about what it's going to be like in the relationships that have been frayed during the past couple of years in Salem?
You know, it's interesting what gets out there in the media as we are on the, you know, Tuesday was filing day. So I was in Salem late in the afternoon for filing day. And we were mingling Democrats and Republicans, watching the board, watching the changes that took place on that filing, the last minute moves and stuff. You know, and we're all chit-chatting, talking on the floor. And so, you know, it's not like we're entering into that with boxing gloves on or anything. So, you know, civility is there and does exist, but we strongly differ on some legislative concepts.
All right, State Representative Cedric Hayden, a break now from some of our legislative interviews. It was where you're working. We've got a couple more ahead, but then taking a break after talking with folks to review this session. So, Representative Hayden, thanks for being on with us again today.
Thank you, sir. It's been a pleasure.
1257 News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by The Parent House. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.